Amen. Good to be saved. Amen. Love to hear that good music. I never have understood how they get that high, but I enjoy it and I appreciate it so very much. Turning your Bibles to Judges 8 tonight. Judges 8, you can do two things at once, can't you? We have several music CDs at the table back there. These are relaxing CDs. So the music we had last night, if you were at the banquet, is Stringhaven, a quartet, string quartet, and then a harp and flute duet, and beautiful. We often play them, let them ring throughout our home, and sometimes go to bed with that music, and we encourage you to take a look at that. There's heresy all over today, as Brother Surrett was talking about. They have it there. We have it in our country. You have it in yours. But with the internet, it seems like that bad travels awful fast. And I was traveling as an evangelist and ran in two straight churches to a man in each church who came up and challenged me on the pre-tribulation rapture. And I said, well, where'd you get that? And he's talking about Stephen Anderson and the heresy out in Phoenix. And so I thought, hey, you know what? We just need to pay some respect to that and get back to the Bible. So I wrote End Time Events. It's not large. It's conquerable. But it's a primer on why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. It's biblical. That's why we believe it. And so that's Volume 1. Volume 2 is the Judgment Seat of Christ and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. They're not very expensive, and I think you'll enjoy those and be challenged by them. And it may help somebody in your church maybe that's getting off. In 2008, my granddaughter was 15 months old, August. I'll never forget it. I preached that Sunday. She came up to me afterward and reached out to Papaw for the first time. They call me Papaw. And she reached out to me. Ooh, I got to hold her in my arms, and I shook hands with all the people as I hold her in my arms, and she's looking at me with great big eyes. And 4 hours later, she was dead. And it ripped our hearts out. I learned what it was to wail. We cried and cried and cried. My wife kept a diary of that time. Is God really the God of all comfort? Answer, yes, He is. You may not have had deep sorrow in your life, but that's the closest we've come to anything like that. She kept a diary of it called Grace Through Grief. Now, as we've traveled and preached, this is all over our country in America, and with appendices of scriptures that God has given us and so much more, we encourage you to take a look at Grace Through Grief at the table. All right. Shirley and I were raised in the same hometown, small town, Northwest Ohio. Montpelier is the name of our town, if you look it up on the web. And we were hometown sweethearts, graduated from the Montpelier High School in 1969, and both of us saved as children. My dad worked on the railroad as a brakeman and a conductor. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, for which I'm very grateful. My wife's parents both worked very hard in factories, local factories. To save for college as a teenager, I worked in a factory. I worked in heat treat with tools. Also worked in a grocery store as a carry out. And then I had a side job cleaning a laundromat. My wife worked in a convenience store, also in a nursing home locally. She went away to become an RN. I went away to become a math teacher because that's what my father wanted me to be. And I love math. And so we finished our education, but both of us sensed that God was doing something in us, that God wanted more for us. There was something that he was tapping on our shoulder about for ministry. And in 1973, just after we were married that Christmas, that New Year's, God called me to preach on New Year's Eve. I became an assistant pastor for 15 years. Shortly thereafter, helped start a Christian school in Clyde, Ohio, where we helped the church bring that church out of Pentecostalism. It was Clyde Pentecostal Church. Today it's Harvest Baptist Temple. Amen. I went back to school to get my master's degree in 1980, and God has blessed us with three children. All of them have saved mates. They're all in independent fundamental Baptist churches. We have five living grandchildren, of course, one in heaven. We've been in the ministry since 1975, 43 years, and in 2013 was my last Sunday as the pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pennsylvania, where I pastored for 23 years. We sold our house, sold everything that we had, bought a motorhome, packed everything that we could in the motorhome, and took off, not knowing how it was all going to go. But God has been with us, and we give him all the glory. In the summer of 2016, we sold the motorhome, bought a condo, and now we travel in a huge car with all of our gear in it. And I play a trombone, and she plays a trumpet and a French horn, and we have all of our books, boxes of books, and computer, all that stuff with us. And that's how we do it today, and sometimes we fly. And so I couldn't drive my car over here, so we decided that we would fly. And that's how we got here. We're in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4. I thought you might be interested in a little bit of background about us. What a great conference it's been so far. If I were here in Australia, this is where I would come. This is a fellowship I would be a part of. Judges 8 and verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Faint yet pursuing them. The Bible has a lot to say about fainting. If this wasn't a problem, then for all of God's people, then there would be no need for all the instruction that we find in the Bible about this matter of fainting. But it was a problem then, and it is a problem today. We must admit that sometimes we have times where we feel faint. Maybe sometimes when we faint. I don't mean necessarily that we black out physically, but I'm talking about spiritual fainting tonight. As you go through your life, building a church and the busyness of it and the feeding of the flock and taking the stands that you see in the scripture, and some people misunderstand you as you do that, and raising your children, working jobs and keeping house and paying bills, and having devotions and helping others and witnessing and dealing with all these health issues and dealing with the busyness of the ministry, which of you would stand and say tonight, I've never felt faint? Don't do that. Certainly this problem of fainting is a danger for which believers need to be prepared. I'd like to challenge you for a few moments on this thought, faint yet pursuing. Boy, they had some faith to keep going when the going got tough. When they felt faint, they just kept going. That's what we need to do, brethren. Shall we bow for prayer as we begin? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you that we don't have to be plundered under when we have feelings of faintness, when things are not going so well, when we are discouraged perhaps, or something comes up in our churches that is not pleasant. We don't have to faint. And if we are fainting or we feel faint, we can still pursue. Give us the backbone to do that Challenge us tonight, Lord. Stir our hearts afresh about this matter, and we'll give to you all the glory and the praise, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We start with what the word faint means. One definition, it means to black out or to keel over or collapse. I